Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 19. We've got a lot of young people here tonight, and tonight just happens to fall to a message about a young man and being held up as an example. As a matter of fact, in chapter number 2, the first 18 verses, the Apostle Paul holds up the Lord Jesus as an example for the Philippians to follow and holds up the Savior as the example. He is obviously the ultimate example for us to emulate, for us to follow. But then he also is going to hold up a couple of more individuals that the church of Philippi is to try to model themselves after and that they are to try to be like. And one of the people that he chooses to hold up, amazingly, is a very, very young person, probably one of the youngest people that we read about in the New Testament that's actively involved in ministry. Now, there's an argument as to how old he is, and time has lapsed since he and the Apostle Paul first met, but we have reason to believe that when Timothy and the Apostle Paul met, the first trip, the missionary trip, when the Apostle Paul was stoned outside of Lystra, there at Derbe in Iconium. It is possible, some people say, that because looks like Timothy's father had passed away, he was a Gentile, but he had Jewish mother and grandmother, and they were women of faith, that the Apostle Paul may have actually done some recuperation in that home, and maybe that that's where Timothy come to know the Lord. But we're pretty sure that the Apostle Paul had led him to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because again and again and again, we see the phrase, mine own son in the faith. Now, time has passed between the first missionary journey and now, but I tell you that in perspective of Simon Peter, of the Apostle John, of others that we know of, even Barnabas, Silas, other names that are familiar to us in the New Testament, including Luke, Timothy is relatively one of the youngest members that is mentioned, and it's amazing that the Spirit of God would hold up a very, very young man to a church that had a couple of old ladies that were squabbling like wet hens. And they were. They were in a squabble. And yet the Apostle Paul, through the Spirit of God, holds up young Timothy as the example that they ought to be like. And he is the example of service. Let's bow our heads and hearts tonight together. Father, we're praying and asking that you would hide us behind the cross. Help us to be found faithful. May the mind of Christ be in us. And may your word find the right lodging place in our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, and you may be seated. There's a phrase that started, phrases have a life to them. They kind of catchphrases, and people start saying them, and they will they'll say them for a time, and then they kind of pass away. But I've heard this one now over a period of time. There's a show that remodels houses out of Texas that my wife likes, and they're big to say. By the way, that show's probably cost me a small fortune. I think they ought to ban all those home improvement shows. Yeah, you know, if you notice, they're always sponsored by Lowe's and Home Depot. There's a reason for that, you know. Ace Hardware, they're always sponsoring them. There's a reason for that. Because during the commercial, your wife wants to run to Lowe's and spend $100. That's just the way that works. And so, but there's this group, a couple out of Texas, and they're always fixing up stuff. And he'll say, and your all-in price is going to be such and such. Your all-in price is going to be such and such. My grandsons, the coach at North High in Hendersonville, was lifelong friends with my son-in-law, with the grandson's dad. And so they were invited to come to the baseball camp this year over at North. And one of the things the coach dealt with them is he would set them all down. He'd say, okay, fellas, now here's what we're going to do. If we're going to play baseball, we're going to play baseball. And if we're not, we're not. But listen, this is what I want. I want you to leave you. I don't want you thinking about your girlfriend. I don't want you thinking about swimming. I don't want you thinking about watermelon. I don't want you thinking about what you're going to do when you go get home. I don't want you thinking about what you did last summer. I don't want you thinking about what you're going to do next summer. I don't want you to think about school starting. I don't want you to think about anything. I want you to just think about one thing. I want you to think about baseball. Our kids played Little League, and they'd say, "Are y'all baseball ready?" The coach would, during the baseball camp, he would ask them, he'd say, "Boys, are you all in? Is your head in the game?" You know, if your head's not in the game, you'll be looking at a cloud and looking how it looks like your girlfriend. You know, you'll be looking at a cloud and looks like an elephant, and you'll think about how it looks like her mother, and you'll just be daydreaming and visualizing, and you know your mind will be going here, yonder, and about, and there'll be a high ball come right by your head, you know, and you go, mosquitoes are bad out here, huh? And everybody starts hollering your name, and you take a bow, you know, and the ball rolled by beside you. You didn't even see it go by. Hey, if you're going to play baseball and you're going to be good at it, you got to be all in. All in. Say it with me. All in. That's right. All in. Well, can I tell you about a young man that I believe I can say without any hesitation, he was all in. And I want to tell you three things about him being all in. He was all in concerning true service for the Lord. He was an example of true service. What are you talking about, preacher? Verse number 19 of chapter 2 of the book of Philippians says, "I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus," not the Apostle John, not the Apostle Peter, any of the other apostles, but he said Timotheus. And that's just that Roman name for Timothy. "Shortly unto you, I've trusted in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." Can you understand that at this time in his life, the Apostle Paul couldn't go? He was tied up, if you will, literally, with chains. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the letter to the church at Philippi, he was in prison. And so he could not go. But he wanted to go. He had founded the church at Philippi. As a matter of fact, he took a beating in order to start that church and was locked up by the Philippian jailer. Remember that? And that's where the Lord shook the bars, and he was the jailer jumped in with a light, thought that they would have escaped and was going to do himself harm, because to lose your prisoners was capital punishment. And so he was going to go ahead and finish the job before they had the pleasure to. And it was the Apostle Paul that said, "Whoa, wait a minute, don't do that. Paul and Silas said, "Hey, don't do that. We're here. And that's when the famous phrase came, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house, thou shalt be saved." And he did that very thing. And so this is the church that was founded through that. And so this church literally had cost the Apostle Paul his blood, sweat, and tears. Literally. He had bled over this church. He had bled to bring this church into the world. And so this church was very close to him. But he wasn't going to send them second best. He wasn't going to send them something, somebody who was just, you know the kind I'm talking about. Some folks that, I'm a Christian. Just don't say it too loud, I heard somebody, one of the kids was they made the statement, somebody apparently had been talking to them about religion or been talking to them about something, and they went to the point that they said, if you want to go to heaven, you got to quit drinking, you got to quit cussing, you got to quit smoking, you got to quit all the good stuff, you got to quit all the fun stuff. You got to quit all the fun stuff. You can't have any fun if you're a Christian. I believe that Brother McBride said that this past week. Well, can I tell you that there's a whole lot of people, they just go through the motions. It's name only. And when you get them out of way, you'd never know. You'd never know. I had something interesting happen. I had some guys skateboarding and bicycling, and they come by my house. And I was outside working. And from where I was at, they didn't know I was anywhere around. But they stopped to taunt the dog and to tantalize the goats. And so they were making sport of the farm animals across the street. But I could hear every word they were saying. And you'd be surprised what big words come out of the little mouths of those little teenagers, probably middle schoolers. And they were using language that absolutely was so embarrassing. I mean, it was so bad that if my grandkids had been out on the porch, I'd have had to make them go inside. That's how bad it was. Here's these kids not old enough to shave, cussing like sailors. I guess because they thought it made them look big. I guess in each other's eyes, they look big. But boy, from me standing up on top of that hill looking down at them, you know what they look like? They look like little bitty children. I guess we're the only facility that ever put out a two-year-old for cussing. Did you know that? We had a daycare. And when we had a kid move up into the two-year-old class, and that kid had a mouth on him, you just couldn't imagine how that kid could talk. And we got onto his mama and we said, he's saying really bad words to the other kids. And she said, well, I don't know where he gets it from. So I guess he just makes up the words, huh? I mean, he's just a little talk. He ain't even potty trained. The bad part of it is he could cuss you out in context. I mean, he would use words in context, and he would use a string of them, and he'd string together a list of words that'd make a sailor blush. I'm telling you, that kid could cuss. I never had it. Listen, if it was an award for cussing, that kid would have got it. It got so bad, we talked to the mama and talked to her and talked to her. We finally said, look, we cannot have this child in class. And she said, well, he don't know what he's saying. And I said, well, how come he only uses that language when he gets mad? How come he only cusses the kids when they take his toy from him? How come he only cusses the teachers when he don't get his way? He don't use those words any other time. But he uses that kind of language. You know, the bad part of it is, I bet you those kids right down there are a member of a Sunday school. I bet you they're a member of a Sunday school somewhere. I bet you they are, and I'm pretty sure they don't talk like that in front of their mama. And I'm about confident they don't talk like that in front of their daddy. But you see, there's some people like that. That's just the way they are. I mean, in their natural state, and they are too immature to be, you know, the talk is big is what I'm trying to say. Wasn't the case with Timothy. Timothy wasn't just, his service was not just in talk. He's commissioned in verse 19, said they're going to send him to you. But look what he said about it when Timothy was bigger than that. He was more than that. He was a young man, but it was a whole lot more than talk. His service was more than lip service. He says, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your estate. Now, think about what he said. The Apostle Paul's looked around and he's thought about everybody that he's acquainted with and everybody that he has relations with. Brother Sam, it's Wednesday night. We're in prayer meeting, all right? He's calling from India. His watch is off. I get calls 3 o'clock in the morning. They go, oh, preacher, I get you out of bed. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You got me out of bed. Oh, you sleep late this morning. No, I'm sleeping early this morning. It's 3 a.m. Oh, the sun shine here. I said, yeah, but the sun not shine here. It's dark outside. I'm cheaping. I have a time with them, man. I have to put my phone on silent because missionaries call all hours of the night. And so anyway, where was I? Yeah. I'm lost. Of all the people that the Apostle Paul could have sent, he said, you know, I can't think of anybody else that has a heart for you like young Timothy. Timothy loves you as much as I love you. He is not just talking the talk, man. He is walking the walk. And I'm going to send him to you. Say, what's the example of that, preacher? Well, let's go this. This is not the case, but let's just say, what if? All right, what if? What if to be a Christian, you had to shave your head completely? Now, for some folks, it wouldn't be hard to do. But you know, I've got the old naughtiest head ever was, and I haven't wore short haircuts since I was a kid because I got a head like a billy goat. I mean, it's just all knotty, and I dread the day when I get bald. I'm going to wear ball caps, you know. I dread it. But what if you had to shave your head in order to be a God-fearing Christian? And that's what you had to do. What if? What if to be a God-fearing Christian you had to cut off the right lobe of your right ear, the lower lobe of your right ear? What does that do anyway? You don't have a lot of function, does it? What if you had to have that taken off in order to be a Christian? What if you had to have it taken off without anesthesia? What if Pastor Enoch were to say, okay, children, if you want to get saved, come on down here. I've got my pocket knife. Lay down here on these steps, and I'm going to cut the bottom of your ear off to prove your sincerity. I wonder how many candidates we'd get for that. Well, can I tell you that young Timothy submitted himself to a procedure that's much more humiliating and much more painful than even that? And you know why he did it? He did it for the gospel's sake. He didn't have to do it, but he voluntarily did it for the gospel's sake. Can I tell you? I don't believe I have any reservation in telling you that young Timothy was all in when it came to true service for the Lord. He was all in. I mean, he had not only give lip service to it. I have people tell me, preacher, now if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. We had an air conditioning unit go out, and we were in Greenville trying to get one, had found one. You have to have HVAC license to buy it. I called our guy who normally does it. He didn't have a credit card that he could put it on. And so I remembered a fella who told me, he said, preacher, if I can ever help you, let me know. Now that was his statement. Well, people say that all the time. People say that all the time. I didn't even know his number. So I looked it up, called his wife. She answered. I asked her, you know, and she said, yeah, he's working, but here's his number. I called him. I said, brother, here's my situation. Air conditioner's broke, 5-ton units out. We're down to 15,000 watts. We've been 165 degrees in the transmitter. We've got damage. I've got one in Greenville, can't get it here, need a credit card. They won't even talk to me. They won't even let us pay for it. We got to have a credit card in the name of a HVAC company that's got a big credit limit on it in order to get this thing, and we're sitting here at the counter and we can't get it. Is there any way that you could help me out? Could you buy that for me? He said, I sure can. I said, appreciate that. He said, give me the number, and I told him. And he said, and preacher, I'm in Silva on a job, but I'm going to quit what I'm doing here and I'll be over there to help you put it in just as quick as I can drive from Silva. And you know what? They come pulling in with Greenville with it. Daniel come pulling in for Greenville, and here he come pulling in. Did you know he worked all day yesterday in the hot sun and through a thunderstorm? He worked all day at the base of that 250-foot tower in a thunderstorm. And he worked all day long. And then his brother came and worked all afternoon. I'm talking about searing heat over there. And got that thing up and got that thing running. And I said, I called him and I said, now I want you to come by here and get the check. I want you to come by here. Now, we're going to pay you. Not only did he save us $4,000 on the cost of the unit. He sold it to us at cost, not retail. The markup was $4,000. He wouldn't take one dime for his labor, for his brother's labor all day in the hot sun or for anything that he used. He would not even come by here to let me even shake his hand. He said, "Preacher, don't hesitate to call me if you need me again." I said, "Brother." He said, "Look, I can't preach. I'm not a Sunday school teacher, but I do know HVAC." And he said, "I've got a vested interest in this thing being on the air because I listen to it all day, every day. And I got to be able to hear it. So call it selfish if you will, but I got to have my radio station on the air." And he said, "I don't want you to keep from calling me just because I didn't charge you. I want you to call me the next thing you have." Do you think he's serious about this thing? Would you say his service probably pretty serious? Sound like me, pretty serious. Left the paying jobs. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he don't have, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he don't have to work in the hot sun. Wouldn't surprise me if he's got so many calls that he's having to stay in the air-conditioned office and dispatch trucks to go work on stuff. It wouldn't surprise me that God don't bless him that much. I mean, I'm just telling you, wouldn't surprise me a bit if his business doesn't just absolutely exponentially expand. I'm talking about an example of true service. All in when it comes to service. True service. But the Bible goes on to say, look in verse number 21. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. All seek their own. Not only are we talking about true service, but we're also talking about total service. Because you see, a lot of people will do what I just said. A lot of people will sacrifice as long as their picture gets in social media. A lot of people will sacrifice as long as they get on television. A lot of people will do a lot of things as long as they get credit and as long as they get patted on the back. But you know what? That may be service, and it even may be true service, but can I tell you, you're getting something in return, therefore it's not total service. You're not all in if you got to have somebody pat you on the back. And you got to have somebody that constantly, you know, you have to be the center of someone's applause. You see, the church at Philippi was on the European continent, but just across in the Asia Minor continent was a church that would be known later on. It wasn't yet, but it was coming, and it would be known as the Me First Church. The Me First Church is in a town called Laodicea. And that was the whole idea behind the Laodiceans. It was about my rights and me first. Can I tell you, we've got a whole generation of me first. And by the way, they don't have to be children. I'm talking about in every aspect, me first. Me first. You don't believe that, try to let somebody let you out in traffic. Just try to get somebody to let you out. They won't do it. Let you merge. They won't do it. I mean, it's me first. I mean, really, we're causing a safety issue here on the interstate. You can't get in. I've got two vehicles. We've got the Denali and we've got the Doodlebug. Well, the Doodlebug's in the shop. And the reason Doodlebug's in the shop, I'm tired of pedaling. I'm telling you, my legs is tired. I mean, if you pull out in front of somebody, you better hope that they're slow, you know. It better be a loaded dump truck pulling uphill or something, because when you pull out in front of them, whew, I mean, it just, you can hold your finger up and watch it move. It's had a bad air map sensor or something in it, and it's been really, really slow. I like got run over the other day in it because I just didn't think, and I pulled out. And the car got closer and closer and closer, and I was had my foot on the floor, and I was patting it, and I was trying to scoot it and everything else. It wasn't going. I mean, it just wasn't going. Boy, you get on trying to merge on the interstate in that thing, you better time it just right because you get killed in it because it goes so slow, you can't get up to speed to get in. But that Denali sitting out there, guys, that Denali, it's a 2012 Denali. It has the same engine as the Camaro. It's got the 6.2 engine Now, the Camaro has a different tuner on it. It's a stage 2 tuner. It has 427 horsepower. But the Denali don't have the tuner, but it has 405 horsepower. And when somebody won't let you in, you can just romp down on that thing and it'll shift down through that 6-speed automatic gearbox. And it's like driving an old Chevelle back in the old days. It'll set your head against that headrest and it'll go, whoa, and just absolutely blow people's doors off. I'm talking about you can drag race them from a rolling start. I ain't found nobody yet that could touch me. I mean, trying to get in, they won't let you in. I've had Corvettes. I got to jump on them and whoop, I'm in front of them. I like that thing. Whoa. I like it. Yes, sir. I like it. But you forget you're in the Volkswagen, try that, you'll get squished like that. And it's just a spot in the road, you know. So you got to remember what you're driving, you know, be able to do that. But it's the me first generation. Everything's about me. Can I tell you that there's nobody that's true in their service and total in their service that has the me first attitude? Do you remember in Luke 9? One of the men were called to be a disciple, and he said, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Ever thought about how that's worded in the King James Bible? Suffer me first to go. Me first, underline. And the thing about it is, he says it again. It's not like it's just a slip of the tongue. He says it again. This is in Luke 9:59. In Luke 9:61, he says, let me go bid them farewell, which are at home. Let me first go, bid them farewell. Let me first, me first. Yeah, me first. We kind of got a joke around here, said we better hurry, you know, if we have a fellowship, going to hurry and get in the front of the line and get food for all the greedy people, get it? You know, jump up in front of the line for all the greedy people, get it? You know, got to hurry. Can I tell you that the Lord Jesus, it was never about him, but it was about others, wasn't it? He was always putting others first. Matter of fact, he said that the Lord, he didn't come to minister, but to minister unto. He came to put everybody else in front of himself. He came to put everybody else's needs in front of himself. Took on himself, the Bible says, the form of a servant. So, all in when it comes to true service. Paul said, ain't nobody like him, like Timothy. He's all in when it comes to his heart for you. He's all in. And then when it comes to total service, the Apostle Paul said, hey, Timothy is all in. He's all in. He's going to all seek after their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, if it had all been about Timothy, if it had all been about him, he certainly would not have agreed to the surgery that he had. He certainly would not have agreed to tramp through all of these places and go through all this risk. And so I said, oh, on those missionary journeys, wouldn't that have been fun? Oh, yeah, get jailed and stoned and beaten and shipwrecked. Yeah, buddy, we're having a hoot, aren't we? John Mark, he got as far as the mainland. He only went through Cyprus, and he got to the mainland. He said, these guys are crazy. I ain't going nowhere else with them. He got on the boat, went back to mama. John Mark, he defected, didn't he? He's a young man. He's a young man. And, man, he was all about the mission feeling. Yes, let's get them. And Uncle Barnabas, and yes, let's do this. And it was all good until Apostle Paul said, we're going to go up there in the mountains. He goes, well, there's crazy people in the mountains. He said, yeah, that's where we're going, them mountains. He goes, there's crazy people in them mountains. There's robbers and thieves in them mountains. We heard about them mountains. Why, them mountain people's crazy. Paul said, yeah, that's why we're going. We're going to reach them mountain people. And John Mark said, hey, you got a rat in your pocket? We ain't going. You might be going, but I ain't going. We ain't going. I am not going with you. And he got on a boat and left. And you know what? He did have a little bit of discernment about him because sure enough, they beat the Apostle Paul on that particular journey and threw him outside the city for dead. And you know what the Apostle Paul did? Got up, went to the next town, preached, had people saved, and said, I believe we'll go back to where I got stoned. See how things are going there. Paul, you just got stoned, old buddy. You just got rocks. You just, we thought you was dead. Many people believe he was dead. Many people, that's when he had his third heaven experience. A lot of people believe that's when it was. And you sure this is where we need to go? That's where we need to go. And right back through he goes. And this is about the time he meets Timothy and his mama and his grandmama. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say the Apostle Paul was all in when it come to service. John Mark wasn't. He wasn't all in total service, but Timothy was. Looked not to his own things. Wasn't concerned about himself or his own things. But then he says one other thing about him, about being all in, about true service and all in total service, but all in tested service. Look what the scripture says, verse 22. You know the proof of him. Ye know the proof of him. That as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't do it, but he could have got t-shirts printed and said, Apostle and Son. He could have said, Paul and Son. He could have said, because they were a team. I mean, they were a great team. And they had proven themselves. And so, this was a young man, but even though he was young, matter of fact, he had to talk to him. He said, now, Timothy, you're young. And he said, you let older people kind of push you around. You're intimidated by some of the older guys and some of the older Christians. He said, but you don't need to do that. Timothy, you can hold your own with whoever. And Timothy, I'm sending you in. I'm sending you to pastor these churches. I'm sending you in my stead. Don't you back down, boy. Don't let no man despise thy youth. He said, I'd put you up in that book. I'd put you up against any of them. He said, you know as much about that book as anybody there. Don't you let them look down their nose at you. Don't you let them intimidate you. Don't you do that. He said, you're mature in the gospel. You're an elder when it comes to the gospel because of your track record. He'd proved himself. And so it was. He was all in when it come to being tested in service. The scripture says, him therefore, verse 23, I hope to send presently, soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Well, can I tell you that it wasn't going to go very well? It didn't go very well. You see, the Roman emperor, he got remarried. And when he got remarried, he married a woman who was a converted Jewish, and so she helped him to develop a hatred for the Jews. The guy's name was Nero. And he was bad during the first part of Paul's imprisonment. But can I tell you, when he divorced his wife and when he married this other girl and when his chief advisor died and several other things happened, it's like he lost his ever-loving mind. And it wasn't long after that he burnt down Rome and blamed it on the Christians. End up killing himself in the long run. But he went stark, raving crazy in the meantime. And did you know, the best we can tell, the Apostle Paul, Timothy was the last one to visit there, to visit the church at Philippi. He said, I trust in the Lord that I also myself may come shortly. We don't know if he ever got to go or not, but probably he did not. But instead, he sent young Timothy because young Timothy had been tested. And it's been said, if you can't be tested, you can't be trusted. Faith that can't be tested cannot be trusted. And I know a lot of young people, they're living for God because they're supposed to. They're living for God because mom and daddy's watching. They're living for God because they're not yet 18 or they're not yet 21. But the minute they get the opportunity and nobody's looking and ain't nobody around to find out and they're reasonably sure they're not going to get caught, then they just can't wait to find out what this whole world has to offer. even if it does destroy their life and break mom and daddy's heart. And sadly, it's probably as true among Christian school kids as it is among anyone. Because the reason mom and dad pay tuition twice, first time is, because, I mean, they pay it during their taxes the first time, but they pay a second time to try to protect you from some things and to try to keep you sheltered from some things. Now, I know not everybody goes to Christian school. But I'm just saying, if your parents are Christian, they want to shelter you. They want to protect you. Some of you, your parents invest in Christian school for that reason. Some of you, you're homeschooled. And it's not that mom and dad want to keep you from having fun. It's not that they want to deprive you. You see, with every one of those sinful pleasures, the Scripture said there is pleasure in sin for a season. But what you going to do when the season's over? Now what? Now what? Just like those leaves that they made aprons out of, Adam and Eve made aprons out of, they look pretty good for a short time. But before long, those leaves begin to wither. And the next thing you know, they're right back where they started. I know young people tonight would give anything if they had never taken the first, if they had never done the first, if they had never have experimented with, if they had never. But see, now they're all in sin. Now they're all in. It's not all in church. It's not all in the Lord. It's not all in like the young Timothy was. They're all in all right, but they're in over their heads. And now they have addictions. And now they have drug habits. And now they have to satisfy their flesh. And that's why some of them don't even have any desire to live. Because they're not living their life. The world's living it for them, and their addictions and everything around it's living it for them. And it dictates where they go. It dictates what they do. It dictates how much money they have. Because they're out of control. But you know, there was a turning point in their lives. And they chose to go all in. I mean, they didn't start out that way, but they chose to go all in into sin. And they got in just a little bit, just stuck their toe in, and just little by little. If you go up in the forest and you jump off of the rock into the water, it'll take your breath. But if you stick your toe in it and let it stay there a while, and you go a little deeper, so you get acclimatized to it, and it's not quite the shock. It's still cool, but it's not quite the shock. It's the way sin is. The more of it you do, the less it bothers you. And before long, you'll be saying, well, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Everybody's doing it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. How come you're so far from God if ain't nothing wrong with it? How come you're so far away from God? You wouldn't know His voice if he were to call you audibly, you wouldn't know His voice. Why is that? Because you've gotten all in. Not in the things of God, but in the things of this world. Can I tell you, the Apostle Paul held up young Timothy as an example to the church at Philippi because Timothy was all in.